I'm glad you're here for Christmas celebration today. The birth of a child is always a celebratory event. We know that, humanly speaking, that first 9 months before the birth of a child is a little bit difficult and can cause some discomfort. And then you go into childbirth and the pain really begins, right? But after that pain is over, at least for a short period of time, and that child comes forth, all that pain is forgotten, and the joy of newness of life is yours. The celebration of the birth of a child. It's interesting that when a child is born and they first come out into the world, we know, now you got to think about this for a minute, they've been in amniotic fluid for 9 months. And we know that they're pretty wrinkled and they're usually red and they're crying. Sometimes their head is misshaped. And you know what the first words of a mother and father are? He or she is so beautiful. You know why? They're not lying. They're telling the truth. Because beauty is seen not in the physical manifestation. Beauty is seen in life, in the celebration of life. And they are here to celebrate that a new child has been born into their family. In fact, this event is so significant that every single year, during one day out of that year, we have a special day set aside for that person. We call it a birthday. And it doesn't just simply mark time, but it celebrates life. And every day on our day of birth, we celebrate the fact that we have been born into this world. Now, Christmas is the grand celebration of life. It is the celebration of the greatness of life. The late, great Peter Marshall, who was the chaplain at the Senate for many years before his passing away, said this, and I quote, "When Christmas doesn't make your heart swell up until it nearly bursts, and it doesn't fill your eyes with tears, and it doesn't make you all soft and warm inside, then surely something inside of you has died." I want you to turn with me to Luke chapter 2, and although we've read portions of this already today, I want to read you the familiar story of Christmas. The greatest part is found both in Matthew and in Luke, but I want to read the section from Luke chapter 2, the first 14 verses, and it says this. "In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. And this was the first census that took place while Cyrenius was the governor of Syria, and everyone went to his own town to register. And so Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. And he went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. And she wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for him in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the field nearby, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Don't be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find the baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger.' And suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests.'" I'm not going to spend a great deal of time on the details of the story, because even non-Christian people recognize the facts that have been presented for us this morning. We recognize that God gave his firstborn son to be born, incarnated, we call it, into the body of a virgin by the name of Mary. And Mary went to Bethlehem because a census had been taken where they were taxed. And as she did so, and as she gave birth in that lowly stable, we know that the shepherds rejoiced in the field, and later the magi, or the wise men, came to visit her and gave her many gifts. Those are the undisputed facts that are historically proven, and we don't really need to deal with that too much at depth. But here's what we want to talk about today. What does that mean to you? What's the significance of that story? How does it affect your life in 2009? We look at verse 10, we find one of the elements of this story that continually jumps out for us, and that is this. The birth of Christ brings forth joy. It says in verse 10, but the angel said, don't be afraid, I bring you good news of great joy. Joy is what makes Christmas. Now, each one of us may look to various traditions to bring that joy out. There are times that we put up trees in our home. There are times that sometimes we bake cookies, and sometimes we have parties, and sometimes we have family members in. We have celebratory events. This Christmas Eve, we're going to have a service to talk specifically about that. And those are all wonderful events, but when you take a look at all of those, they're all celebration events. They're celebrations because the joy has come into our life through Christ. Any of you ever heard of Dr. Seuss? A couple? Okay. Here's one. Thank you, Mark. Dr. Seuss's most famous story, or at least one of his most famous story, is The Grinch Who Stole Christmas. You ever read that book to your kids or heard it? Actually, I think it's been made into a movie more than one time, and I think it's even out now. The Grinch Who Stole Christmas is about the Grinch who decides that he's going to go down to this little town called Whoville. And when he goes to this town, he said, the only reason that you have Christmas is because of all of these presents and so forth, and so I'm going to take away all the semblances of Christmas. I'm going to steal all the presents of every gift and every ornament and everything I can get my hands on. And when they've lost all their stuff, they're going to cry instead of sing at Christmas, and I will steal Christmas. And so he's up on the mountain the day of Christmas, and guess what? He hears the singing coming down from Whoville, and Christmas came anyway. And now here's one of the most famous lines from the book and probably the movie, although I haven't seen it, and that is this, and I want to quote it for you, as the Grinch looks down on this celebratory event taking place. And he says, and I quote, and the Grinch, with his Grinch feet ice cold in the snow, stood puzzling and puzzling. How could it be so? It came without ribbons. It came without tags. It came without packages, boxes, or bags. And he puzzled and puzzled until his puzzler was sore. And then the Grinch thought of something he hadn't thought of before. What if Christmas, he thought, doesn't come from a store? What if Christmas perhaps means a little more? You see, the real joy does not center around what we get. That's nice. We love that. But it doesn't center around what we get. It centers around who came to see us, who invaded our world, who came down to show us about life. And the joy of Christmas is always centered in Jesus. It's not centered in the cost of our presents or even in the family that's gathered around us. It's centered in the celebration of life through Jesus. John Ortberg, who's one of my favorite authors, wrote a book entitled The Life You've Always Wanted. And in that book, he talks about God, and he says many people misunderstand the nature of who God is. And I quote again. He says, we will never understand God until we understand this about him. God is the happiest being in the universe. He is ultimate joy. Now, I know the scriptures say that Jesus was a man of sorrow and grief, and we know that that happened to him. But the sorrow and grief was only temporary. That was not his true nature. His true nature was that of joy, and sorrow and grief is simply because of the sin of mankind, and there will come a time when that will be banished forever. But his basic characteristic is that of joy. And there is a principle for us here. Joy is a hallmark of the Christian faith because it's a hallmark of God. That's who God is, and he wants to give us his characteristics to us. Sorrow is not in our DNA. It's simply a temporary condition. Joy, joy is eternal. Sorrow comes and goes, but joy is within us, and joy is eternal. That's why the psalmist can say in Psalm 30, weeping may last for a night, but joy comes in the morning. God wants us to share His joy. He wants to show us His joy. Why do I know that? Because look at what it says in verse 11. Unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. What does that mean? There are four words that change the entire focus of life. I've got a short 2-minute video that I want to show you about that.
Christmas. It means many different things to many different people. But if you condense the many meanings of Christmas down to just one simple truth, you'll always end up with four words. Over and over and over again, four words. God is with us. The holy God of Israel, wrapped warmly in humanity, is crying real tears in a real city with real parents who are trying their best to take it all in. God is with us. He's on our planet, on our countryside, in our manger. Emmanuel, the very name the angel speaks, is now given to Jesus because God is with us. Fast forward 2,000 years. The four words that changed history can now change us. Those four words are the only words that can bring meaning to the deepest places of our hearts. For the woman whose husband walked out on her, and who continually struggles to pick up the pieces. For the elderly couple who can no longer care independently for themselves and who must now rely on the care of others. For the man who watches as all of his friends get married off and who painfully wonders if there's any woman out there who will ever take an interest in him. For the person who is seeking truth and looking hard at Jesus as a possibility. You are not alone. You never have been, and you never will be. Because God in Christ wrapped himself in human flesh, stepped out of eternity and into time, and chose a cave in Bethlehem to communicate one simple, abiding truth. God is with us. And those four words have the power and the beauty to change every waking moment.
Most of us have read that verse 100 or more times. Unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. The celebration of life happens every time there is a birth. We celebrate when our friends have children, or the people that we know, or the people in our congregation or at our work have children. But there is something different when that child is born into our family. When we recognize that he is bone of our bone and flesh of our flesh, and we say he has been born into the Bates family, there's something different about that. There's something that personalizes it more. There's something that grips us a little harder. There's something that recognizes part of who we are is now in this new child, this new being, this new life. Does it make a difference? You bet it makes a difference. Last week, Danny Hall sang that song that we sing a lot of times at Christmas time called A Baby Changes Everything. You believe that one? Well, when you're young and you have a child, let me tell you, a baby changes everything. First thing is you don't get any sleep for 2 years. That's the first thing it changes. And then that house that you had that was so neat and tidy before you started having children, now you see dolls and cars and puzzles and everything all over the place. And now I think every child probably sentences you to 5 years of poverty. I think that's the general average rule there. A baby changes everything. And you know what? You don't care. You know why? A baby has been born into your family. It is a child of love. It is a child that you care about. It is a child that you are going to watch grow up. They are now part of you. When you read this, it doesn't say, unto the family of Mary and Joseph was a child born. You know what it says? Unto us a child is born. Our family. He's come to us. God is with us. He's come to meet with us. He's come to show us his love. This birth wasn't just for Mary and Joseph's family. Unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. You see, a child can be born, but a son's got to be given. And God gave His Son, Christ, for us. You know, there are many people who totally miss the understanding and meaning of Christmas, and it's kind of very sad. Now, when we begin to look at Christmas, we know that there's a lot of different ways that we can interpret this. There are some individuals who view Christmas as simply a pagan holiday. And we know that in the 3rd century, when Constantine became a Christian, he took the winter solstice, which was a pagan celebration, and he said, we're going to eliminate that, and what we are going to do is introduce a new concept to you. It's the concept of the celebration, not of the winter solstice, but of the celebration of the birth of Christ. And there are those individuals today who refuse to believe in Christmas because of that fact, and therefore they miss the joy of Christmas celebrations. Now, if that were the criteria for our celebrations, we wouldn't be singing many of the songs in our hymns today, because most of those were written with words, and then they went down to the local pubs and found what were the tunes, and they changed the words so that they fit what was being sung. Some people celebrate with absolutely no understanding of what Christmas is about. They will spend the entire Christmas season and never mention the name of Jesus. And for them, it's simply a time to get off work and to party and to give gifts, and they miss the very reason for the celebration. There are other individuals who will use Christmas as an excuse to overspend, putting themselves in debt that they cannot pay. They misuse Christmas and misunderstand what it's all about. There are other individuals who will abuse Christmas. They will indulge in activities and individual things that bring not only disrespect to their family, but dishonor to God. And rather than using Christmas as a time of celebration, they abuse the Christmas celebration. But we cannot, however prevalent that is in the society in which we live and the people that are around about us, we cannot allow those people who are uninformed about the real celebration of Christmas to set the tone for our celebration. Because according to Luke, he says, I bring you good news of what? Great joy, for unto you, is born a Savior who is Christ the Lord. That's the reason for a celebration. So as Christian individuals, we have to personalize this celebration. We have to continually say, what does this mean to me? What does it mean to my life that Jesus has come, that God has showed me the understanding of who He is? And that brings us to this focus. The focus of Christmas is always to ask the right questions. It's not to ask the question of how did it begin. It's not to ask the question of how many presents am I going to get. It's not even to ask the question of whether my family will be here, although that's certainly important. When we begin to look at Christmas, the questions that we ask are this. Is this child that has been born to us real to me? Does he make a difference in my life? Do I understand how much God loves me personally? Do I know him as my Savior? Has he brought good tidings to me? Am I showing favor to him? Those are the questions of Christmas. Those are the questions that help us to understand and personalize this. Why are Christians so filled with excitement about this time of year? Because we have just received the best news that any person has ever gotten. Unto the Bates household has been born little Travis. Unto us, into our household, has been born Christ the Savior. His name shall be called Emmanuel. God is with us because He will save His people from their sins. And when we begin to grasp that, we begin to understand that. We begin to understand that we have no hope aside from Christ, but that He has come to us. He has laid aside the window of heaven, and He has showed us what He is like. We begin to be filled with praise and adoration as the choir and orchestra have sung and played so beautifully this morning. We begin to want to worship Him because He is our Savior. We begin to want to sing and express our gratitude because we love Him so much. There's a song that we often sing called, O Little Town of Bethlehem. It is a song which talks about the hope of the Christ child. It's a song which tells a story. It tells the story about a child that was born in a little a little town called Bethlehem. Beth means house of, Ham means bread, so a house of bread is really what Bethlehem means. So he's been born in Bethlehem, and this little child that has been born in Bethlehem has a significant event and an opinion upon our life, and it depicts this story of hope in Christ. This hymn was written by a guy by the name of Phillips Brooks. And Phillips Brooks was an Episcopal priest in Philadelphia. He went to the Holy Land one year, and when he came back, he was so filled with the wonder and the awe of visiting Bethlehem and the place where Christ was born that he sat down and he penned the words to this particular carol. And he gave it to his organist in the church. He was pastoring the Holy Trinity Church in Philadelphia at the time. And he gave it to his organist. His name was Lewis Redner. And he says, I want you to put a tune to these words that I have written. Well, Lewis Redner, like many individuals, put it aside and said, okay, I'll do it. And he forgot about it. And he forgot about it all the way through December. And finally, Phillips Brooks came to him and said, now don't forget, tomorrow's our Christmas Eve service, and we're going to introduce this new tune that I have written. Oh, really? And so he went into his closet, he picked the words out, and he sat down that particular night, and in one night he wrote the tune to this. And on December the 27th, actually, on December the 27th, 1868, this was introduced in Holy Trinity Church in Philadelphia. After it was sung that morning, they kind of forgot about it and put it aside and didn't think any more about it. And it languished in obscurity until 1892. In 1892, there was a new hymnal of the Episcopal Church that was published, and this song was in that hymnal. Now, the sad part about it was Phillips Brooks had died, and he didn't even understand what he had written that would become such grand in magnitude that we would sing it yet today. Now, there are four verses and four stanzas in this song, but the last particular stanza is one that I want to bring to your attention. Mike, you got that and put it up for us? This is the last stanza. I want you to look at this. O holy child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Christmas is about God descending to us, not just the Bates family, unto us. A child is born. Cast out our sin and enter in. Be born in us today. The child of Bethlehem has no meaning to you unless you understand the third and fourth lines. The reason we celebrate and praise God, the reason we have parties, and the reason we have an orchestra and a choir and all of these things this time of year is because when we cast out our sin, do you know what he does? He enters into our life, and he gives us everlasting life. So therefore, when that happens, we hear the angels singing, and the tidings are being shared abroad. Come to us, abide with us, O Lord Emmanuel. Cast out our sin and enter in. The child was born, but the Son has to be given. In Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5, it says, but when the time had fully come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under law, that we might receive the full rights of sons and daughters. That's why we celebrate. When we cast out our sin, and we put it upon Jesus, it says that I have become the propitiation or the sacrifice for your sins. And when you put them on me, here's what I do. I enter into your life just like I entered into the world that day. I enter into your realm of being, and therefore we can praise and honor and worship him forever. Let's pray. Lord, the significance of Christmas sometimes just eludes us. We think it's just about parties and food and getting together and having presents. And certainly those are good things and important things. But help us to recognize and understand that unto us a child is born. To this family. To the family of people who say, I want to cast out my sin and I want you to enter into my life. And I want you to be my Emmanuel. God is with us. And when we go through the tough times of life, and we pray and it doesn't seem like you answer, help us to know God is with us. And when trouble comes to our family and disagreements seem to drive us apart, help us recognize God is with us. And when those times of disappointment comes, when we're laid off from work, help us to know God is with us. And when we have those debilitating diseases that it seems as if they are going to take our life, help us to know God is with us. That's why we celebrate. Amen.